This evening, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is our scripture passage this evening. And as we get ready to turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up Your Word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, there is a coffee house in Wilmer, Minnesota named Lulu Beans. And upstairs next to the fireplace in that coffee house, there is a sign, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46. It was in this coffee house that I finished up the premarital counseling for one couple, and they had just told me that the passage they would like for their wedding is Psalm 46. And as we walked out, I noticed that sign that was hanging in that coffee shop. And I also knew that all of the signs in that coffee shop were for sale. So later that day, once I got home, I thought, hey, what a great wedding gift for this couple to buy this sign from the coffee house that we did our premarital counseling in, and it was their wedding passage. Well, when I called the coffee house, they said, yes, all the signs are for sale except that one. That sign had a long history. It had been there the longest. And in 2012, this particular coffee house, the owners had gone through a construction phase, and it was a very difficult time for them with everything that was going on, and they were wondering if they were going in the right direction, and they knew that God had led them this far, but then the questions came. Did they do the right thing? There was an overwhelming fear, the owner told me. Did we make the right decision? Times are tough. And it was during that time that someone had given them that sign, "Be still and know that I am God." It was a reminder for them, a testimony of the peace found in God. Now, many today are experiencing that same kind of questioning, that same kind of fear. What if? That same kind of anxiety. What's going to happen to next? Every day it seems like there's something new that's going on. And Psalm 46 addresses this. And the question that we'll be considering this evening as we look at this psalm is, how do we get to that point that verse 10 is referencing? How do we get to the point of being still and knowing God? Being still and knowing God. There's a reason that we can be still and know that God is God. And the reason that we can be still and know that God is based on God's presence. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. It's based on God's protection. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And it's because of that reality that God is with us, He's our fortress, that we can be still, have this peace. This psalm expresses confidence in God in face of unimaginable troubles. God is present with us. He is our source of protection no matter what we face, no matter what life throws at us. So when words like global pandemic get thrown around, we're reminded of God's presence. We're reminded of His protection and the peace because of that. That we can be still and know that He is God. Our first point this evening is trusting in the power of God's presence. Trusting in the power of God's presence. How would you respond if your whole world all of a sudden caved in? And maybe that's what you're feeling after you watch the news or hear universities extending spring break and then going online, or as you look at your inbox and it's coronavirus, COVID-19, and that's the entire list. The psalmist responds by saying, we will not fear. What this psalmist describes is the world as he knows it being turned completely upside down. What do I mean? In verses 2 and 3, he's describing, I will not fear. We will not fear. What? Though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So here you have the picture of something solid, unmovable like a mountain, and something chaotic like the sea, all of a sudden taking over, all of a sudden flip-flopping and trading places. Now, something helpful for us to understand as we try to jump into this psalm is that in the biblical perspective, especially the perspective that the psalmist is writing from, the way that earth is set up is you have the heavens above, you have the earth beneath, and then you have the waters under the earth. So it's different than our understanding of a globe has a solid, and then, anyway, it's different than that. You could almost imagine them thinking of the earth being on top of the water, kind of like an oil rig in the middle of the ocean. You have the heavens above, right in between is the earth, and then you have the waters that's under the earth. Now, the psalmist knows, because of God's word, that is not going to change. That's not unshakable. Psalm 24 is an example of what I just described. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. There you have that perspective. I noticed it this morning when we were reading the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness in anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or the water under the earth. So there's the perspective that he's coming from, and he knows that this earth is not ever going to fall or totter into the sea. Psalm 93 describes that the world is established and it shall never be moved. You look at Psalm 104, he has set the earth on its foundation, so it shall never be moved. Later in Psalm 104, verse 9, it's God who sets the boundaries for the sea. You set the boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. And so the psalmist knows that there's no possible way, because God is upholding all things, that the earth is going to tumble into the sea. But that's the background for what he's describing here. Even if the unthinkable happens, even if the impossible happens, even if the unfathomable happens, the earth tumbling into the sea, mountains hurling themselves into the middle of the ocean, what's his response? We will not fear. Even if the world as we know it, more than that, even if the world as God has defined it collapses before our very eyes, we will not fear. I mean, to try to put it in perspective for us today, it'd be like us saying, even if tomorrow gravity stopped. I mean, here's something pretty foundational and basic, and all of a sudden it's gone. We will not fear. And here, in right at the beginning of Psalm 46, we have one of the most, if not the most radical professions of faith in all of Scripture. Even if my entire world gets turned upside down, I will not fear. How can you possibly say that? And this faith, or this lack of fear, is because of this faith. It's built on the truth that God is our refuge and our strength. God is our ever-present help in trouble. And as we look at this psalm, the question is, do you believe this? Do you believe that God is your refuge and strength? That he is your ever-present help in trouble? Are you able to say, I will not fear, even if the world as I know it gets turned completely upside down, because I know that God is with me. And I know that he's protecting me. I've witnessed fear and panic this week. I mean, just go to the grocery store. I've even freaked out a little bit. Do we have enough? 2 weeks supply. But do you see how easy we can lose sight of the bigger picture that Psalm 46 is pointing out for us? People of God, where does your help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God is upholding all things with his fatherly hand. This psalm is a hymn praising God as creator and praising him as redeemer. Heaven and earth and all creatures are so ruled by God that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, coronavirus, all things, in fact, don't just come to us by chance, but from his fatherly hand. This didn't slip through God's finger. Whoops, that one got past me. This is all part of his plan. Has God's providence all of a sudden changed? Has the coronavirus impacted God's ability to provide and sustain the earth? It might seem like it if you watch the news. But the correct answer is no. God is just as much in control and upholding all things today as he was from the very beginning when he created all things out of absolutely nothing. God is our refuge and strength. Our ever-present help in trouble. That's why we can be patient when things go against us. That's why we can be thankful when things go well. And when it comes to the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing in all creation is going to separate us from his love. Not even if gravity quits tomorrow. And along with that trusting in the power of God's presence, this psalm goes on to describe us being confident in God's protection. Our second point this evening is being confident in God's protection. Here we have a breath of fresh air, of confidence in the Lord, even in the midst of a very real danger. He is for us. He is with us, this psalm repeats. This is our God who is ever present with his people, and he is being described in terms of refuge and strength and fortress. And the question at this point for us is, well, what is God protecting us from? What is God protecting us from? We've already looked at verses 2 and 3. He's protecting us from these natural disasters. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, and though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And in addition to the Lord protecting us in spite of these natural disasters, the psalm goes on to describe the nations that are in uproar. Kingdoms falling, tottering. Just like the mountains falling and tottering, now you have kingdoms tottering and falling. It's war that's being described. Missiles have been launched. War has been declared. Nations and kingdoms are changing hands, tottering, falling. And when you look at verses 4 through 5, the city is not secure because of its fortifications, because of its towers. But rather it is secure because God is there. Because God is present there. His divine presence is the ultimate fortress. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her. When morning dawns, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. When we're looking at these nations that are raging and these kingdoms that are tottering, what we remember is God's presence, which is also our protection and our fortress. And he simply here in verse 6, lifts his voice, and the earth melts. There is joy in this city. There is flowing joy. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is this flowing joy in spite of the upheaval and the chaos of the nations and kingdoms, because the Lord of hosts, or another way to put it is the Lord of the heavenly armies, is right here with us. The God of Israel, the God of Jacob, is our fortress. Notice how God's protection in this psalm is described in a very personal and a very real way. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our help in trouble. I mentioned earlier how Psalm 46 is a hymn. And two of the major themes that you have when a psalm is a hymn is the theme of praising God as creator and praising God as redeemer. And here in this psalm, we see that statement of confidence, that statement of praise, because God controls all things, nature, as well as the courses and the events of human history. And the chaos we experience is then faced without any fear, because God is in control. At the very worst, the chaos we experience, the upheaval, is simply a threat, because the Creator is still sovereign over all. In the New Testament, Christ is presented as both the Creator and the Redeemer. You can think of John 1, verse 3, through him, that is Christ, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And so when we are talking about God's presence, when we are talking about God's protection, and even in just a moment, when we talk about God's peace, we are ultimately talking about Christ. The presence of God. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm with you always. The protection of God. I have told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And Jesus Christ is the peace of God. How? How is Christ the peace of God? Well, he's described as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And it's ultimately in Christ that we have an end to the wars, an end to diseases, an end to sin, and an end to death. Now, something that is implied in this psalm as we're looking at it together this evening, so it's not spelled out explicitly, but rather it's implied, is an eschatological element. It's pointing us to the end. How's it doing that? Well, when you look at verses 8 through 10, all of a sudden what's being described is an end of all wars. It's God being exalted in all the earth. And the question for us, are we there yet? Have all wars ended? Has ultimate peace been accomplished? Has God been exalted in all the earth? And our response is, well, no. Not completely, not yet. And so, our faith is anticipating this time, looking forward to when this peace, when this reality being described in Psalm 46 is fully realized. When the natural and the national threats are no more. When complete peace is accomplished. And that's our faith in God's presence and protecting, with the result right now already of having his presence and his protection, but also anticipating and looking forward to the fullness of these promises being realized in Jesus Christ, who already has victory over all that is wrong and broken in this world. An end to all wars. An establishment of true and everlasting peace. And so we're trusting in the power of God's presence. We're being confident of God's protection. And third and finally, we are experiencing God's peace. Now we've made it back to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And that peace that we can experience because of God's presence, because of his protection. Now, to be still doesn't mean just sitting still. It doesn't mean to be quiet or calm or reflective as much as it means to stop what you have been doing and be still. It's only when we stop our own frantic activity that we can experience this peace, that we can know that he is God. The command here to be still is just like what Jesus said to as his disciples were being tossed around by the stormy sea. And it's fitting, because in Psalm 46 you have the mountains being thrown into the sea, and then you look at Mark 4 and Jesus is on the stormy sea with his disciples. And what happens? You know the story. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall or a storm came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down. and it was completely calm. And then he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now I love that. They were afraid of the storm. Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid?" And after he calms the storm, they are terrified of the Lord of the storm. Jesus not only has the power over all of creation and nations, he also has the power over death. In Jesus Christ, all of these promises of God's presence, his protection, and his peace find their ultimate fulfillment. People of God, we know that the storms of life will come. And the greatest storm of all that we will face is death. But even in that moment, we can face it with confidence and stillness, knowing that Christ is with us, knowing that he is our refuge and our strength, and the reason that we can be still and know that he is God. Is the Lord of hosts with you? Is the God of Jacob your fortress? Are you able to be still and know that he is God? That he is your God? It's more than just a sign hanging in a coffee shop up in Minnesota. It's the confidence that you have and the comfort you have in Christ alone. Exalting him in all things, placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting in the power of his presence. Being confident in his protection and experiencing his peace. It's being still and knowing that he is God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and you know our anxious hearts. And it's our prayer, Lord, that we will recognize your presence with us. And your protection of us in such a way that we can be still and know that you are God. Know that you are our God. That the Lord of hosts is with me, with us. And that the God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, hear our prayer because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.